Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Today, we're going to talk about a focus. It all began with me when I was about 38. I remember the time because it was one of those moments where I'm in the eye doctor's office and he's doing the eye checkup on me. He says, well, your eyes are pretty good. There's not much difference. But in another year or two, you'll be back to see me and you'll need to make some big changes. Of which I promptly said, that won't happen to me. In a year or two, I was back seeing him again and we made some big changes. And that's when I was introduced to progressive glasses. Where that your glasses are all, and so I find myself doing this a lot. You know, where is it that I need to be? And everything just kind of got out of focus and everything. And I began to notice it again a few months ago when I was playing golf. Now, you probably don't know this, but just want to give you a little education. Wearing progressive glasses and trying to play golf is a nightmare. Because you're doing this, and then you're doing this, and then you're doing this, and you never, you know. So I have just regular glasses to play golf with, and the ones I had were really old, and I needed to update them, and I did. And I can see better. I wish it had helped my game, but it hasn't. And anyway, Israel struggled with keeping their focus where it needed to be. The writer in Hebrews tells us that you and I are to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And we have trouble with that focus too, don't we? So we're going to look at them and see what we can learn to help us keep focus. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. At the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they camped at Rephidim. But there was no water there for the people to drink. So once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. Quiet, Moses replied. Why are you complaining against me and why are you testing the Lord? But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children, our livestock with thirst? Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? They're ready to stone me. The Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people, take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. I will stand before you on the rock of Mount Sinai. Strike the rock and water will come gushing out, then the people will be able to drink. So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. And Moses named the path Massah, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? You see, Israel is just like us because they struggled when their resources weren't in view. They struggled when they got to a place in life and they couldn't see how they were going to make it through because they were only concerned with having their wants satisfied. They're preoccupied with self, just like us. Self-esteem, self-gratification, self-approval, self-defense, self-love, self-righteousness, self-confidence, self-satisfaction. What this leads to is that when self isn't satisfied, you begin to blame God and others. And here's a little line I want you to remember. It's from these verses, but here it is. If you're not trusting God, you're testing God. If you're not trusting Him, you're testing Him. And see, Israel got to that point often in their life. And over again, they got into trouble because of their focus. They chose to look at their problems rather than a providing God. They chose to look at other nations rather than being a nation controlled by God. They battled with the focus of self, with the focus of God. And that's ours. So let's look at it. What causes us to lose focus? Let me quick give you some things that causes us to lose focus in life. Number one, people. We tend to look at other people. We tend to see what they're doing, what they want, how they think, how they react. And if we're not careful, we begin, well, look what they got, and I don't have that. And look what they're doing, and God hasn't done that for me. And look what they have, and I want that like that. And we tend to look at other people and what they think and what they say. And that causes us to lose our focus and to not be looking at God, but to look at other people. Secondly, the past. You know, how many people look at the past of what's going on? Well, I've done this, and I've been through this, and I've got this problem, and it's all because of what I went through back here, and it's all because of what was done to me when I was younger. It's all because, and you know what happens? Before long, your past has more power in your life than God does. And you begin to let your past control rather than God control. I'll keep moving. Provision. Well, you know what? I don't have this. I need more. I don't know how I'm going to make this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I really need God to provide. And before long, you're looking at what you need rather than look at the one who's able to supply what you need. Before long, you develop an attitude of ungratefulness because you begin to look at what you don't have rather than what you have. You begin to look at where you're going to get your needs met. And if God doesn't come through real quick, you'll find someplace else. Pain. Pain causes you to lose focus. Because you know what? It's easy to listen to pain and let your pain dictate your life rather than God. It's easy to allow pain to be in control. And you spend so much time trying to manage pain. It's what pain does. Pain demands attention. If you're not careful, you let the pain control you rather than God. And you begin to focus on that rather than who God is. You know, and there's more than just physical pain. There's emotional pain. There's heartache. There's things that have happened in life that are painful. And if we're not careful, we get so focused on them that we miss God in it. Next is problems. Problems come. God, why am I going through this? God, why am I in this? God, this isn't fair. God, this isn't right. God, why are you doing this to me? God, where are you? And what are you doing when you're doing that? You're focusing on your problems rather than going to God and letting him help you in the midst of them, aren't you? Panic, fear, I'm afraid, I'm panicking. Oh no, I gotta do something right now. How many times in life have we made poor choices because we panicked? Thought we had to do it immediately. Thought it had to be done this moment. And if I don't do it now, then I'll never recover. I'll never get better. I'll lose everything. If I don't just do something right now. And in our panic, we tend to lose sight of God and who he is. And pressure comes in and fear comes in. Let me give you another word along with it. We begin to worry. And worry then causes us to lose focus in what really matters. We get tired. We get weary. And we panic in life. Oh no, how am I going to get through this? Oh no, how am I going to do this? We immediately begin to try to devise ways to do everything. And we just panic and forget about God's presence in the midst of it. Pleasure. Pleasure. Well, after all, here's a great line. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it. God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? The answer is no, by the way. God wants you to be holy. That's what he wants. And see, if you're just driven by pleasure, by what will make you happy, you will make horrible choices in life. And you will make decisions based on your happiness rather than God's presence, what's right with him. And pleasure causes you to lose focus on God. I just want to have some fun. I just want life to be easy. I just want to enjoy things. Enjoy God. And so pleasure can do that. And lastly, plans. Well, I thought I'd do this and then this and then this, and I thought this would work out, and I really want to have this, and I've dreamed of this all my life, and this is something I really desire, and this is something I really long for, and this is something I planned for a long, long time, and before long, your plans are directing every decision that you've made, and you need to stop for a moment. Where's God in the midst of this? And sometimes our plans get in our way and allow us to lose sight of God and who he is. So here's the question. knowing that we battle this, how do we stay focused? How do we stay focused on what's right? Well, let's look at our story and let's learn some things. First of all, know that you're doing what God wants. Know that you're doing what God wants. Notice verse 1 of the text that we read, at God's command. So in other words, God said, I want you to go here. Now, was God up there going, okay, they got to the place and they say there's no water, and God goes, oh man, I thought there'd be water here, I blew it. You know, that dried up by the time we got there. I don't know what happened. Was that God's response? Did God know that there wasn't going to be water there? Did he tell them to go to a place where there's no water? Let me just tell you something. God doesn't always send you to Disney World. Sometimes he sends you to the desert. Sometimes that's his plan. And you and I have to ask ourselves, am I doing what God wants me to do? Well, Pastor, why is that so important? Here's why it's important. Because if I'm doing what God wants me to do, then God will provide for me everything that I need. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, then God's going to take care of me. Will it be hard? Perhaps. Will there be times of stress? Perhaps. Will I find myself in places where I'm a little panicking because of what's going on? Perhaps. But you see, if you're not trusting God, you're testing him. And rather than having confidence that God's leading us, we begin to look for other options. And see, when you begin to look for plan B doesn't take you with God. And once you go to a plan that doesn't take you with God, then you're out of God's provision, aren't you? And so, very important thing to understand here, they were going exactly where God sent them. And if we will live our lives in obedience to God, then God will take care of us. Well, Pastor, you know, I know this really isn't what God wants, or I know this is what God wants me to do, but I just have a really hard time with that. Well, then, good. Go do what you think you want to do. Take the easy way out. Do what your plans and everything, and then you'll get to a place where you're going to wonder, God, why aren't you providing for me? And God said, I never sent you there in the first place. That isn't my direction for you. And so you and I just need to know that being where God wants does not always mean it's going to be an easy place. But wherever God takes you, God will provide for you. Wherever God has you now, he will take care of you. And when we get in a difficult place, we begin to question God's guidance, don't we? So the first thing I determine, am I where God wants me to be? Am I doing what God wants me to do? If I'm doing that, then I just need to keep going on believing that God's going to take care of me. At the Lord's command, know that you're doing what God wants you to do. This isn't that hard. Right? Okay. Secondly, don't develop a habit of grumbling. This is going to be fun. Notice verse 2. So, now notice here, don't miss this. So, once more. What does that tell you? This isn't the first time. Right? So once more, again, once more the people grumbled and complained. You know anybody that would fall into this category? That whenever you talk to them or whenever you're around them, here we go again, they've always got something to complain about. They're always grumbling about, you know anybody like that? You do, don't you? And so he said, once more. We have another term for this we use today. They're whiners. They begin to whine and complain again. Now, for some people, they have developed a very bad habit. They're negative. A Christian should always be positive. Why? Come on, I've told you this over and over and over again. Faith is always positive. And without faith, you can't please God. So when you start getting negative about things, you are not pleasing God. Is that clear enough? Okay. You know, and the problem is, they're not even aware they're doing it. But once again, once more, the people grumbled and complained. Now, what does a complaining person look like? Let's look just real quick. First of all, they argue with those in control. They argue with those in control. They complained against Moses. They're always critical of somebody in charge. Yeah. They want to be in charge. Why? Because then they get to do whatever they want to do. They don't like anybody telling them, would you quit your whining and start doing what's right? They don't want to hear it. And so what do? They just begin to argue with the people that are in control a little bit. They want others to know we're not happy. You say these great words, and you got to put a little whine in your voice, okay? You just don't understand. You haven't been through what I'm going through. You don't know what it's like. I'll go on. Secondly, they always analyze the circumstances, and mainly from a negative point of view. You see, when you're in the midst of a problem, you don't need somebody coming to you telling you all about your problem and why you're there when you're there and why you're in this place and what you've done and why it's just like, you know, well, here's the problem. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Look at how this, you know, anybody can see problems. It doesn't take anyone gifted to see problems. You know what you really want in life? You want some people who have some solutions. The Bible is full of solutions to our problems. It's easy to see the problems. It's easy in any organization to see the problems with it. It's easy in any home to see the problems in it. It's easy in any job to see the problems in it. That doesn't take any gift whatsoever. It's rare the person who can see the solutions and the good things. And they analyze the circuit. They focus on what they lack rather than what they have. I mean, look at it. These people had been set free by God from over 400 years of slavery. They're free people, and what are they doing? We don't have any water. Why'd you bring us out here? You're just trying to kill us, Moses. I mean, look at it. You're trying to kill us. You're trying to kill my dog and cat. Moses, I got him here. And now, Moses, what are you doing? Let's just go back. Thirdly, they abandoned their convictions. You know, here's what this sounds like. Well, I know what I say I believe, but I'm hurting now. And Pastor, I really believe what you're saying, but I'm really in a problem now. You know, I can believe that stuff later, but get me out of this now. You know, we'll trust God later, but right now, I've got to have relief. Right now, I'm just exhausted. Right now, I'm just overworked. Right now, I'm just too far gone. Right now, I'm just overextended. Right now, I've just got so many issues. Right now, I've just got so many things. I just need to get out of them. And when I can do that, Here's the way it sounds. You ever talk to anybody and says, well, you know I need the Lord in my life, and as soon as I get some things straightened out. But you know, they're not the only one to do that, because Christians do it too. Well, I know what the Bible says, and I really believe God can do all that, but right now, and you abandon your conviction. Isn't it amazing that we will throw away what we know because we want relief now? Isn't it amazing we'll just abandon our convictions because we just want something done now? And that's the way the children of Israel were. Finally, they accused God of failing them. They accused God of failing them. Let me just ask you something. You don't need to raise a hand or say anything, because I already know the answer. Ever been anything that's happened in your life that you blame God for? Well, God, I trusted you and you didn't do this. Well, God, I put my faith in you and look where I'm at. God, I really thought, and God, look what's happened. We don't get what we want, and we grumble and complain. So they complained again. Once more, they complained and grumbled. Let's move on. Don't be driven by your needs. How am I going to keep focus? I can't let my needs drive my life. Notice verse 3. But tormented by thirst. It's like your kids coming in after they've been outside for 2 minutes. And they come back inside and say, I can't go out there, it's too hot. I'm so thirsty. I'm going to die. Well, go on back out and I'll plan the funeral while you're out there. That's just us, isn't it? Oh man, how horrible is this? Tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. I want this to happen. I need this. I expect that. Do you understand how many times we allow our lives to be dominated by the things we want? We allow our lives to be dominated by the things we want out of. God, I don't want to be here. God, I don't want to do this. God, this isn't right. God, this isn't fair. God, why is this so hard? And rather than being driven by convictions or our faith, we're driven by the needs in our life. I just need to get out of this relationship. I just need to find another job. I just need a little peace and quiet. I just need to get away. I just need someone to change. I just need there to be something different. Tormented by thirst, they continued to argue. Do you understand that your needs will cause you at times to abandon God and lose sight of Him? Because you're convinced you need it, and you're convinced if you don't get it, you'll just die. Or, let me back up a little bit. You're convinced if you don't get it, then life won't be fulfilling. I just need this one thing. If I could just get it. You know, there'll be people this week who'll be dominated by their needs, because on Tuesday of this week, Apple has their big meeting. And they'll probably announce their new phone. And in fact, there are already people in line at the stores. Why? I need this. Now, there's nothing wrong with having it. But what's driving your life? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Next step, don't damage your life by reacting in anger. You see, when I don't get things I want, I get mad. And people express anger in one of two ways. You explode, and everybody around you knows it, or you implode, and you just kill yourself. And what does verse 4 said? Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? How mad are these people? How angry are these people? They're ready to stone me. They've already picked up the rocks. They're coming at me. They're ready to end this. They're so ticked off. They're so driven by their thirst that God, if you don't do something here, I'm a dead man. Because they're so mad right now, they'll take this out on anybody. And because of their thirst, you see, when you don't get what you want in life, you want somebody to pay, don't you? Well, if you did that to me, I want you to pay for it. Well, I'm not getting what I want. Somebody should pay for it. I want somebody to pay. I want action now. I want it now. Now, let me just tell you something about anger. When anger is present in your life, your focus is wrong. Do you hear me? When you're angry, you've lost focus. You're tending to look at things you're not in control of. You're tending to look at things you're not getting that you think you deserve. You're tend to looking at other people who aren't doing what you want them to do. You tend to look at things you cannot control and want to control. And the response to all of those things is we get angry. I get angry, you know? And either I become boisterous and let everybody know that and hit something, throw something, yell at something, do something, turn a little red, you know, scream, holler, you know, just do something to get control, or I just stuff it all inside me and inside I'm just as mad as can be. And the person you always hurt with anger is you. You hurt you. If you keep it in, you're really going to hurt you physically. You're going to pay a price for it. If you spew it out, you're going to hurt yourself because of all the people around you who are going to be suddenly dancing around on tiptoes and not wanting to be around. And so when anger is present in your life, you've lost your focus. Last point, determine what you know. Verse 7, last verse we read, is a great verse. It's just great. Here it is. You ready? It's there in your notes, I think. Is the Lord here with us or not? Is the Lord here with us or not? Now, let me just tell you something. Your entire walk with God will be as good as it can be on how you answer that question. Is God with you or not? Is God here or not? Am I all by myself? Left alone to fend for myself, to do what I want to do? Or is God with me? Now, hopefully you know the answer to this already. God has said all throughout the Bible, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. There is never a moment in your life when God is not with you. The problem is not that he's left you. The problem is you've lost focus. You've tended to look at the wrong things in the wrong ways. You tend to see things rather than see God. You tend to look at things that you want and what you think you need and go driven by something in your life rather than keeping your eyes fixed on God. Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he sat in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened by death? Does the scripture say, for your sake we're killed every day, we're being slaughtered like sheep? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is God with us or not? How many times do we act and do we know people who act like God isn't with us? And that's really the question the children of Israel had to ask. Is God here? Did God bring us? Does God care about us? Does God love us? Is God for us? Is God with us or not? And I don't know what you may be going through today. I don't know what your battles are. I don't know how desperate you might be. I don't know how hard the week's been and how great the hurts are. But I do know this. Here's the question you have to ask yourself this morning. Is God with me or not? And if he's with me, then it's going to be okay. If he's with me, I'm going to make it. If he's with me, he'll take care of me. If he's with me, I'll make it through. Overwhelming victory is ours. Don't lose your focus.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.